This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for Ask the Expert North Texas. I'm Kristen Diaz.
I'm David Rankin. This school year seems to have started a little crazy. We've seen so many arrests and threats against schools all over the state. Just yesterday alone, the Houston area had 4 threats and arrests for everything from bomb threats to finding a gun on campus to a knife on campus to a stabbing. Across Texas, cops have arrested at least 10 people over school threats. That includes a student in Wiley who threatened to shoot up at the school and another at a middle school in Arlington. On today's Ask the Expert, we're joined by Dr. Alex Del Carmen, criminology professor at Tarleton State. He is in the KRLD Zoom room. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
One thing about that's shocking about this is so many of these kids involved in these threats are under the age of 13.
And what we're seeing, David, is a trend, right? That not only are they doing this while they're younger, but they're also connected to other people across the United States. And so this is almost done, if you want to call it, in waves, right? Where you see, for instance, a school shooting that takes place. Sadly, people get killed. Some people get injured. It's a high profile case. Everybody talks about it across the United States. 2-3 days later, you start seeing that increase of threats all across the U.S., particularly in the states that have actually been affected by the shooting. I mean, it really is a domino effect.
I'm really curious at the evolution of some of these threats in schools. I remember when I was in school, people used to say, oh, well, we need to change the R-rated movie age limit. Or, you know, then it was the games, the video games are too influential. And then now it's been the conversation about social media. The influence at the end of the day, regardless of where it comes from, do we think that it's getting worse, that it matters, that it's varied, or does it just, these conversations start at home? How do we get to the root of the issue?
Believe it or not, Kristen, the old sayings about the rated R movies and the video games being too violent, you know, the actual science shows that there is no correlation between any of those things and high degrees of violence. That's more the traditional component or reaction by society where people say, oh, don't watch that, or you're getting too much into those video games. The other school of thought that we have in criminology about those video games is that if these kids don't display and don't allow to have a place where they can actually display that anger, where are they going to do it? So it depends on who you ask. Now, let's go back a little bit to the idea of what social media is today, to your question. Social media is a conduit by which a lot of these folks are not only being informed of what happens in other places across the United States, but they're also being able to express their desire, their anger, their frustration through social media. And what that does is it radicalizes the person. It makes the person go into a bubble, into a journey that is very dark, where the person is being reinforced those beliefs that are so isolated. And then at some point they execute on that fantasy, which is what we see across the United States, unfortunately.
How much of this is because the kids don't think that there are consequences to their actions and they just think they're playing a game of some kind?
Some people argue it's a generational issue as well, David. Of course, those of us that are older, you know, always blame the younger ones for doing, you know, that's been going on in our country since the 1776. But I will say to you that what we see now is that a lot of the young folks, they not only see the ramifications of it, they really don't care. It doesn't really matter to them, right? I'm not talking about all the young people. I want to be clear. I mean, most young people are wonderful individuals, very bright, that are technologically savvy, and we do have a great future in America if we rely on their intelligence. They're very bright. But there are some individuals that are getting radicalized by virtue of the fact that they really don't see any consequence that happens as a result of any of their actions, added to their ideology, added to this sort of fantasy that they want to be famous and they want to be known for something. And that's what gets us into that category of having a suspect that is highly capable, highly motivated to do something bad. And authorities cannot do anything about it until the person actually demonstrates the intent. And that's part of the frustration is people say, well, they talked to the FBI, they talked to local law enforcement. It was already, they were already on the radar screen. Well, it doesn't matter. We have our constitution. Law enforcement can't go in there and arrest the person just because they're suspicious of that individual.
Can we talk also just about mentorship and, you know, outside of, you know, parents a lot of times are not at home, they're working, and, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think sometimes we get into this complacency, like, it's not my problem. That's their kid. I'm not going to say anything. But sometimes we need to kind of step into that mentorship role. These, I feel like these children, they need some guidance.
They do. And part of the problem is even for those parents that are at home, they don't know what the kids are doing behind that computer screen. And so in other words, you know, hey, I'm home, honey. I'm going to make you dinner. Well, the kid is upstairs doing God knows what, and then or downstairs doing whatever they want to do on that computer. And the parents sometimes are not even literate enough to be able to go online to see what their kids are doing. On the other side of that, as you mentioned, you know, kids are spending less and less time outside. So they're not being exposed to the neighbors, to the cousins, to the other people that would have otherwise told them, hey, you know, get your head out of that category of doing violence and then think about something else. What you and I would have depicted as mentoring when we were younger. That's happening in a different way. Now it's happening online, which goes to show you where a lot of these kids are spending time. So we have to sort of reinvent how to approach them and how to identify that there is a problem.
It's a really sad state of affairs when parents, where they would normally have to teach their children where to go in case of a fire, what happens with a fire drill at school. Now parents are teaching their kids how to survive school shootings. One parent just went viral talking about the fact that she had to teach her 9-year-old and 7-year-old kid how to play dead.
You know, David, it's a sad reality. And I got to tell you, my kids are now grown up. But, you know, when they were little, they went to a parochial school here in Arlington. And I remember going to the principal and I scared her to death. I said, ma'am, I said, you don't have a camera. You don't have a door security component. And I just started walking her through what that was going to look like if somebody showed up with a gun. Well, the next day she found the money to be able to do all of the things that I have recommended for her to do. And I just got to tell you, this has been going on for a long time in our country. This is not new. What is new, however, is that now it's publicized and they're using more lethal weapons that are in fact becoming more of a problem because there's more carnage. There are more people that are dead, et cetera, et cetera. It is a scary, terrifying thought. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a parent of a small child today, drop him off at school, and not know in what conditions you're going to find that child when you pick him up. I mean, this affects everybody in the United States, not just those people that have little kids, right? And we have to come together as a family, as a country, to figure this out and figure it out quickly.
Can we talk also about the evolution of training? You know, training for teachers has changed over the years. You know, that kind of training doesn't necessarily happen at home. Like we just said, you know, parents are all kind of dealing with it as it comes at them. Is there any kind of resource that parents can reach out to the schools to maybe do some of those drills at home? That way they're kind of in the know of what their kids are going to also be expecting.
There are a lot of companies out there, Kristen, that offer the training not only to families, but also to schools. And for the most part, you know, the idea is that, you know, the sort of philosophy behind it is that if you can run away from the bad guy. If that fails, then hide. And if the bad guy finds you while you're hiding and there's no other option, then you need to fight the bad guy because they're going to go after you anyway. So those three components are part of most of what we teach kids in order to preserve their lives, right? Barricade themselves, not make a lot of noise, make sure they get. But now what I'm really, really interested in is finding out what the rest of the United States is going to do with the technology that's now in place that actually worked in Georgia, where we saw that some of these teachers actually had on their ID cards the ability of being able to activate with a very small sensor law enforcement in a quiet manner. Had it not been for that, there would have been a lot more dead people that day. And so that is now being promoted across the United States by saying, if your school doesn't have this equipment and this technology, it really should.
Yeah, and there's some simple things like door locks that they can put at the bottom of doors that make them, you know, unkickable. You cannot get the inside or get into them from the outside. So maybe that's technology that needs to also be more widespread. Dr. Del Cameron, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.